Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Well, it's a privilege to be able to come and to bring a message that the Lord has laid upon our heart. We've been able to talk to a few people, including neighbors, and we went to a friend of ours last night and kind of had a prayer meeting, and we talked a little bit of kind of about what we're going to be speaking about tonight, the Lord being our helper. So if you want to read along with us, we're going to be in Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning in the 31st verse. And if you scan, we appreciate you scanning the honor of reading God's word. We're going to be in Romans 8 chapter, the 31st verse, and the Bible says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let us pray. Dear, kind, merciful Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity, and we pray, God, that you would bless each and every one, Lord, that hears your word, wherever they are, whatever time it may be. And God, we pray, Lord, that during these times, whatever time it may be, God, that we would always remember, Lord, that you're in control of all things. And Father, we're thankful, Lord, for our salvation, which comes only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray, God, that you'd bless his people, bless us, bless our nation, and bless each and every one in this world, God. And we pray, Father, that you would just save each and every one. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. We all say, amen. Amen. So as we begin to look at this, and ever since all these things began to happen, we like to look, and I'm trying as I begin to drive here and prepare for this, I wanted to try not to talk about specifically what's going on. I believe we've heard enough about it, truth be told. But the thing is that during this time here on earth, whether it be the coronavirus or wars or whatever, this world is full of trials and tribulations. Yes, this is truly something different than many of us have ever seen, and I don't recall any other time that we as America have gone to this length of separating ourselves and even telling people not to congregate. I don't believe that there's a time in history. I may be mistaken, but I don't believe so. But that doesn't change that still peril is peril. Whether it be war, as we've already said, famine or death, whatever it may be, even the depression of our economy and things that are going on, people being laid off, people losing their homes. We've seen those things cycle throughout time. All throughout time, there has been trouble in this world. But I know one thing for sure is the Bible tells us in many places that God is with us. God is in control. And many times we look at the things of this world, and that's what we focus on, isn't it? It's easy to do that. We watch the news. We watch what's going on. We see our neighbors struggle. We see even people that we know and what they're facing during this time. And it's easy to get focused on what is happening here and now. But knowing that God is in control of all things, but the thing that I keep being brought to is that this isn't the end. This isn't all that there is. Yeah. We'll get to that in just a second. But we that are born again, as the Bibles we've already read, that we that are his elect, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, including death. And I know we may be getting ahead of our message today, but let's hear this. Neither even death. When I die in this world and I lay this body down, I'm going to awake and to be with the Lord. How wonderful and blessed that is. But yet that does not lower what we are going through. And as we began to prepare for this, I began to look and see, well, where is it that we can find that we have hope and faith in God and that he being in control? And all that you have to do is you can read from the Old Testament all the way through into the New Testament. And it's verse after verse of how God is in control. Psalms 46 and 1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. All through Psalms, David writes about how God is his help in times of trouble and need. We also read over in Hebrews, he says in Hebrews 13 and 5, not to just take a section out of the verse, but it does say this in the second part of it, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Many times when we face these things, in this world, God is with us. The Bible tells us clearly that we that are his children, we that have built our house upon the rock, that when the storm comes, and it does, it rains on the just and the unjust, but when the storm comes, we that have put our faith and trust in God, it's going to stand that storm because we put our faith and trust in him. And help us to continue to do that. And so in this world, we know that he is always with us. Jesus himself even spoke of this in Luke in the 12th chapter. If you go over and read, you can read that whole verse, that whole chapter, and what it is talking about is ensuring and helping people to realize that there is greater things and that God is in control. Over in Luke, the 12th chapter, it talks about how a great congregation was there. Tonight, we only have a few of us because of the conditions that are going on. But in Luke, the 12th chapter, it was so great that they were even stepping on themselves, or you can even interpret it and understand it as they were actually trampling themselves, trying to get to Jesus to hear what he had to say and to maybe even be healed or touched of him, but hear what he had to speak of. And during that time, he taught lessons about those that had great abundance, the fool, the rich man, and all that he had. And they would come to him, and a man wanted him to help him to divide of the goods or his inheritance. But he said, don't worry about those things. He even said and gave the example of the ravens of how they neither sow nor reap, but yet God provides them food. And then he also speaks of the lilies and how beautiful they are and how God takes care of them. And then Jesus says, if God does that for the birds and for the grass and the lilies, he, you that are of so much more importance, what will he do for you? So why is it that we worry the way that we do? Many times we think, well, I'll handle this. Things come at us, and what the first thing we'll do is we'll grab a hold of it and we'll say, I'm going to do all that I can to take care of this. And we work, and I hope and pray this isn't wrong in me saying this, but this is how God helps me to understand it. I get out in front of God, and I get out in front of him, and I'm doing all these things, and what he's telling me, peace, be still, and stand back and allow God to move. God's going to take care of it all anyway. I think of that song, and I probably have spoke about it here when God has allowed me to stand too many times. I am truly a winner either way. If I go or if I stay. Because all that Christ has done. And whether or not we go through this today, even my wife and I, we've talked, well, what are we going to face a couple months down the road? This thing isn't just going to go away. What happens again next year? Are we going to be in this same predicament? What's going to happen in 5 or 10 years? The next big thing comes along. What's going to happen then? Or what happens in our economy? Is it going to be able to rebound? But yet again, we must remind ourselves, no matter what happens, God is in control. Amen. But we must put our faith and trust in him. We must know that. But as we spoke of those things, that isn't just it. So I began to look at this. God led me over into 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 19th verse. And I thought this is what we were going to speak about tonight. But he led me back over here to Romans, and we're going to get back to that right here in just a second. But the Bible says this, and Peter or Paul, I almost misspoke, but Paul in his writing to the church of Corinth, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Now, I want to encourage you, go over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and read it yourself. But as you begin to read, you will see that what that is talking about is that if Christ had not rose, if Christ had not died and been resurrected, we would have no hope. We would have no hope. And you can even read that and say that if it wasn't, if it was just for the life that Christ had here, and if we just had hope in that which Christ did do many good things, and he helped many people, and he taught great and wonderful things that people try to follow and listen to today to be a better person. But if you leave out the very fact that he died and rose from the dead, and by him we have that same opportunity of the resurrection through Jesus Christ, if we will just accept and believe him, we would of all people be most miserable. Us getting up and coming down here just to film a little service, it would be of no good. Be of no count, because our what we would be preaching would be dead. But what we do, we know to be true, because Christ truly did rise from the dead, and we are alive in him today, and my hope and faith is in him. But also, and I don't want to change anything or take anything out of context when it comes to the Word of God, but you can also say that in this life only we have hope in Christ, we would of all men be most miserable. My hope just isn't in this world, because we know that to be a born-again Christian, if no matter what anybody tells you out there today, if you read the Bible, which is the true inspired Word of God, it says that we that are Christians, we will face those storms that we talked about just a second ago. We will face trouble in our lives. We will face sickness. We will face death in this life. We will face problems at work. We will have problems with our money. We will have things that we never even see coming. But our hope and faith is not in the good life here. It is in the life that we have eternal with Jesus Christ our Lord. My home is not here. I told my neighbor that the other day. We're in the process of moving, and I said, you know, it's just a home. That ain't my home anyway. It's just where I live. And let me say this, I'm blessed that I'm able to have a home, that I can put a roof over my wife and my kids' heads, and I can, and they can come in, and it's a safe place out from the environment. I am blessed. And there is people in this world that don't have that same privilege. I am truly a blessed man, but in the end, that ain't it. That ain't as good as it's going to be. That ain't my home. My home is on the other side. And that's where it's going to be for an eternity. And I don't even care that it's a mansion. I don't. But praise be to God, I'm going to be with the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And that's what we begin. And let's get back to Romans, the 8th chapter. That's what he's talking about here. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, it doesn't matter what plague, because the truth of the matter is, God is in control of that anyway. If God is truly for us, no matter what we face, there's nothing that the devil can do that can take us away from him. The Bible speaks clearly that no man can pluck us from his hand, that no man can take our name, we that are born again, out of the Lamb's book of life. Nothing that even we ourselves, now people don't understand this, but I feel like maybe somebody needs to hear this tonight. Because the truth of the matter is, it doesn't even matter what I do. That's going to separate me from the love of God. Because why? My salvation is not in myself. I am an elect of God, and he is the one that saved me. Even though I mess up and I do terrible things and I sin every day and I fall short of the glory of God, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. And that is why we need to have our hope and faith in him. That is why he's saying, that what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a great question. That is truly a question. We need to ask ourselves that from time to time. Sometimes we need to ask. And these are things that we've all heard, but sometimes we need to take the time to look at these question marks that are in the Bible and know that these things are here for a reason. It's for us to ponder even of ourselves as we read it. Well, what can separate? What is, if God is truly for me, what can be against me? What can stand up against the will of God? Nothing. It doesn't matter what the politicians, and I do not want to go down this road far, but I feel led to. It doesn't matter what any of the politicians do. It doesn't matter what any leaders of the world do. What matters is what God's will is. That's the truth. If God wants me to die, I could die on the way back home tonight if that's God's will. And there's really nothing I could do about it. I'm not up here preaching. I ought to go home driving 130 miles an hour with my seatbelt off, with my head hanging out the window. That's foolishness. The Bible warns us of that. But if God's will is that I'm to leave this place, there's nothing that I can do about it. That's God's will. And God is in control. But let's go on. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You that are reading along with us, guess what happens right here? There's another question. It's another time for us to stop and to ponder. And we think, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Truth in that. If God loved us so much, let's just go ahead and say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If God was willing to give his son on the cross and to die, if he was willing to come and walk upon this earth 33 and a third years and not sing one time and go to the cross and die for me that I can have eternal life, why in the world do I worry about the things of this world? Because I've got God that has already signed and sealed my eternal life. I'm no longer dead, but I'm alive in Christ because of what he has done. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, elect. As I was driving here tonight, that was the thing that kept going on over and over in my mind. We can go over in the earlier parts of this and get into certain things that are spoken here. But one thing that I think that we need to read and understand, and I'm not taking away what that says, read it and understand it. But when it says elect, let's just say it like this. I am now one of God's chosen people. I am an elect of his. I am a child of God. He chose to die for my sins. He chose to die for your sins. He chose to come and face the death of the cross that I could be saved and pardoned from the sins that I commit. And have earned death because of. I am an elect. I have been chosen of God. And if I have been chosen of God to be a child of his, then I have the blessedness of being having the hope of him. And who in the world can lay anything to the charge of the sons of God? Who can? There's not a one. Because it is God who is greater than all things. It is God that spoke this world into existence. It is God that hung the earth exactly where it needed to be in our solar system that we could have life. It is God that formed us out of clay and breathed life into us through Adam and Eve. It is God that created this world. It is God that created everything that we have seen. And if God chose to die for me and save me of my sins, who is it for anybody else to say otherwise? Amen. You can say whatever you want to, but in the end, it don't matter what you say. Because if God says it's this way, it doesn't matter what you think. No matter what your opinion is, because everybody's got an opinion. But what God says, no matter what you think, if you agree with it or not, it is true, and that is the way it's going to be. It is God that justifieth, not we ourselves. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Remember how we were talking about in 1 Corinthians? It is Christ that is risen again. And now we have Christ, as it says, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
You can read that again over in Hebrews, but right here, it is trying to tell us and make us understand that we are the elect of God, and through Jesus Christ sitting upon the right hand of the Father, you know what he is doing? He is praying for us. He is bringing supplications to God, saying, that is one of yours. It is by his blood of Jesus Christ that we're able to enter into the holiest of holies and bring our concerns about the disease that's going on today. It is the ability of us to enter into the throne room of God and tell of the problems that we face. And you want to say, well, God don't want to hear about my problems. Boy, I'm telling you what, that's a lie straight from the devil. God wants to hear from you. God made a way that we can come and bring our problems to him by dying and sending his son to the cross, that we may have a way through the blood of the precious Lamb of God to come into the holiest of holies and say, Lord, I need you right now. I got fears, I got problems, I got troubles upon every hand, God, and I can't have peace with it. Lord, I need you to help me. And then we go back to all that the Bible has said, and that God is a ever-present help in time of trouble, that God will never leave us nor forsake us, that it is impossible for God to lie, that when he says these things, it doesn't matter what anybody says, it's the truth. Because that's what the Bible says so. And that's what God says. It ain't what I say. It ain't what Tommy says. It ain't what anybody says. It's what the Lord says. Well, I'm getting longer than I intended. Who's also making intercession for us. Boy, what a blessing that that is. Let me say this. And maybe somebody, I probably need to hear this tonight, Tommy. I need to tell myself. I have one that is on my side. You hear me? There's people out there today that think that the world is against you. Truthfully, it may be. The devil is of the world and he is against you. He has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But there is one that's sitting upon the right hand of the Father that wants to hear from you. And he is your mediator. He's on your side. He's already paid the cost. He's paid the debt that you could not pay. And he's wanting to hear from you. And he's wanting to make a plea for you and tell God what's going on in your life. What a blessing that that is. You think the people that you work with are against you. You think your friends are turning their back against you. You may even have problems in your family. I've got news for you. There's one right now that is on your side. And as the Bible has already said, will never leave you nor forsake you. Who will be closer to you than a brother. What a blessing that that is. Maybe you're going through those times right now. Well, you think everything's against you. It's easy to see that. Turn on the news and you think everything's against me. God's for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's all these questions and we're trying to hush, but he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Here's all these questions. And as you think about this, think about all the things as we're reading this. Is what are you facing? What are you facing today? What I'm facing is not going to be what you face. The problems that I have may not be the problems that you have. I have found that in talking with people and being a minister for the time that I have, that there's problems that people go through that my mind can't even begin to comprehend. But what it is telling us, and we'll maybe reiterate this in just a second. There's nothing that you're facing that is too big for God.
Amen.
There's nothing that you're going through in your life right now that God cannot handle.
Amen.
Think back to the times when you thought that you couldn't take another step. You thought that I can't make the bill payments this month. I don't know what's going to happen. I got people that are sick. I've got people that are dying. And my mother and my father, maybe they've passed on, or people in your life have gone on to glory. All these things. And there's times in your life that you just want to throw your hands up and say, I'm done with it all. It doesn't matter what you face because, well, let me reiterate that. It does matter what you face because God cares enough. And God says that no matter what you face today, I've got it. No matter what you're going through today, I've got it. And you may be going through it right now and you don't even see him. But I can guarantee you one thing. When you get on the other side, you can look back and you can say, all those things that the Bible has said were true. God was with me. I have grown through that. I've become a better person because of what God did in my life. And he is able to help you no matter what you're going through.
Amen.
We're all, many people are scared. Scared. Rightfully so. Take precaution. Be careful. But know this, God is still in control. And even though everybody's saying that we need to be in a panic, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I've got this.
Amen.
No matter what you got going on, I've got this. None of these things, tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril. It skips on down to 37 verse. It says, nay, and all these things we are more. All these things that we face. But this is the thing that I want us to get. My prayer is that we get a hope out of this. My prayer is that somebody doesn't know what God can do for them, that maybe they'll hear this and say, you know what? I need to have something in my life that I can put my faith and trust in. Because I'm here to tell you, the things out there in the world, I can say this because I've tried a lot of them. The things out there in the world, they're not going to be there when the hard times come. Those people at the bar, they ain't going to be there when the hard times come. The beer ain't going to be there. All it's going to do is cause problems. The drugs and the alcohol, it ain't going to be there when the hard times come, because all it's going to do is it's just going to keep dragging you down. But the one thing that will pick you up and pull you out of that terrible place is God. Because why? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Lord, listen to this. You think nobody loves you? God loves you. As we've already said, for God so loved the world, God loved you enough to die on the cross and to make a way. You say he don't want to hear from you, you're mistaken. That's a lie straight from the devil. You say God don't care? That's a lie straight from the devil. Very quickly, I've got to say it. They went to him in the storm, and I've talked about this many times, but it's come to my mind again. They said, whoa, during that storm, the disciples were out in the sea, and Jesus was in the heart of the boat. They said, and the winds was coming up, and they thought the ship was going to wreck, and Jesus was down there asleep. And they went down there, and they woke him up, and they said, do you not care that we perish? Have you ever said that, saying, God, you not care what's going on in my life? God, you not see what's going on in my life? God, you not see the struggles and how I'm hurting and what's going on? God, did you not see what brother or sister so-and-so did to me? Do you not care? I look back and I realize, oh yeah, he cared. He took the beating for me. He took the whipping for me. He went to the cross for me. He gave me eternal life. And you want to tell me God don't care? God cares. God feeds my family. God gives me a car to drive. God gives me shoes on my feet. And you tell me he don't care. I'm preaching to myself again, Tommy. I need to be reminded of these things. God cares. God cares. But I'm more than just that. I'm a conqueror. Amen. See, what I've got to move on. This is the last bit right here. Listen to this. The world, you may think the world's got you defeated. You may think everything's gone against me. A lot of people today like to feel you're a loser. Everything just ain't working out the way you thought it did. I got news for you. If you're a child of God, you're a conqueror. Okay? This may rub some people wrong if I say it this way, but this way I got to give it. You're a winner. You're a winner, as we've already said, either way. It ain't a contest. It ain't. The battle's already won. It's over. It's already been decided. You can either be over here on the losing team, or you can be over here on God's side. And I want, that's the thing. And unlike any other sport or anything else out there in the world or anything else where there's competition, you find that even in the workplace or in your life. The people that are good born-again Christians, you know what they want you to do? They want you to get off of that losing team, and they're sitting here telling you, come on over to the winning side. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to leave all those cares, leave all those concerns, leave all the trappings of the world that bring you down and cause more problems than good. And leave those things and come over to the winning side and overcome the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing that we do, that's what's so wonderful. I've just been riding the bench the whole time. God's already done it. God's already won the battle, overcome death in the grave. And I'm more than just that, I'm a conqueror. All of these things that we go through right now, one day ain't going to matter at all. Amen. I was thinking of this as people always saying, I want to say this, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. Listen to all these things. I believe when we read this, and I've said it before, the 38th and 39th verse is pretty much covering everything. Ain't that right, Harrison? Amen. I can't think of anything else that can be added in here. It pretty much covers it all. It says, for I am persuaded. Why do we say persuaded? It's because we've gone through it before. We've experienced that before. And I know that God has brought me through those instances before. And I am persuaded that he's going to do it again. Amen. God's brought us out of wars. God's brought us out of trouble in this world before. God's brought us through troubles in our own lives before. And you need to tell me that he's going to leave us now? Oh no. Amen. God's with us. We need to remember that, and I am persuaded that God is with me, and that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I need to say this one last thing. It's nothing that I've done. It's nothing, truthfully, that I've ever been able to do. It's all the Lord.
Amen.
It's not, as Psalms 100 says, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, it's not I that have made myself. It's not me, but God has made me.
Amen.
It is him that goes all the glory.
Right.
Everything that Amen. We do. Now, what I was going to say, and I'm going to finish this up right now. Certain times in our lives we think, well, where were you during that time? So we were saying here, we were conquerors now. We're going to think back to, remember 2020 when we had that pandemic, and we think back to September the 11th. I can even think back to when the Challenger exploded. Others that were before me, I hear my mother and them talk about, where were you when Kennedy was assassinated? Where were you when they bombed Pearl Harbor? Where were you on D-Day? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just keeps going on. Things are going to happen. We're going to remember all these things. But one day, it's just going to be a vapor.
Amen. Yeah.
You can sit here and argue what heaven's going to be like, all these different things. But in the end, it ain't going to matter.
That's right. Amen.
What's going to matter is that one day I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
My faith is going to end in sight. And that's what it's saying. There is nothing that I can face today. I've given this, 30-minute sermon. We're going to wrap it up right here in about 20 seconds. There's nothing that we can face in this world today. There's nothing that the devil can throw at us. There's nothing that the world can throw at us. There's nothing that anybody in this world can throw at you that can separate you from the love
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And in the end, we've all overcome it anyway, not by us ourselves, but by our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done for me. And I don't know what anybody's going through. I know what I'm going through, but I know that no matter what it is, I'm going to be all right. God's got it under control. Just continue to put your faith and trust in him. I hope and pray that God is dealing with you. If God's beginning to deal with you and you realize that you need to be with the Lord, you can find information about that on New Providence's primitive, nppbc.com. Find information, call Tommy, call whoever. Talk to him, but what most important is that you call to God.
Amen. That's
God's the one that saves you anyway. No matter where you are, I'm not going to tell you to say a prayer. I don't believe in that. I believe that God convicts you, and you need to be obedient to the Spirit. God will work it out with you if you just have the right spirit. He is faithful and just. For whoso shall ever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if maybe you say, you know what, I have been going through hard times, and I need help, God will help you with that too. That's my prayer. Maybe this is what we need today. God knows what we need. I don't. I need to hush. Put your faith and trust in God. Nothing can separate us. Dear kind, merciful Heavenly Father, we are thankful. God, we pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every one, Lord, that watches this wherever they may be. God, we pray, Lord, that you bless this church. Continue, Lord, to bless Tommy and his ministry. God, we're thankful, Lord, for all the churches and ministers and those, Lord, that are stepping out and trying to do all that they can to continue to spread your word. God, we're thankful, Lord, for the servants in the church, Lord, that are setting up this equipment and helping to put it out there in the world that we can hear it and watch it. We're thankful, Lord, for those, Lord, that are continuing to work for your glory during this difficult time, Lord, to help to lead somebody to you, God. Help us, Lord, not to lay down our cross, but during this time, God, just to be ever present, Lord, working and being more diligent now than ever before, God, realizing, Lord, that we are seeing that day coming. And God, help us, Lord, just to continue to put our faith and trust in you. And we'll give you the praise and honor and the glory for it all, Lord. And most importantly, God, we must save our sinners everywhere. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.